one word that is repeated or is used in both the first reading from the letter to the Romans and the gospel is the word repaid. Repaid, a word which is understandable to us because we understand it means getting back for what we gave. Principle of justice, very easy to understand because it's almost inherent in us. When we give, we expect to be treated with an equal repayment. And that's right. I mean, that principle of justice is correct. We understand that good should be repaid with good, evil should be punished. Reward and punishment. In the gospel, Jesus, it's the last line of the gospel, Jesus says that if we invite the poor and the crippled, the lame and the blind, we will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Repaid, not in this life, but in the next life. That mention of the resurrection of the righteous seems well connected to what we were celebrating on Saturday and Sunday, All Saints Day and All Souls Day. Our attention has been focused on the next life and the condition of souls in the next life, the saints and the souls in purgatory. And we've been reflecting on how, especially yesterday, how we can help our brothers and sisters who are not yet fully enjoying the glory of God or the beatific vision. How can they be fully repaid at the resurrection of the righteous? Well, it's a little bit mysterious, isn't it? Because how can we give anything to pay for someone else? Well, that's part of what we reflect on. But in the first reading, St. Paul quotes from, I don't know where, I didn't look that one up, these lines: who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has given him anything that he may be repaid? There's the word repaid again. So in this case, it's not about us being repaid for our kindness to the poor. It's about repaying God, and his point is, who can repay God? Who can give God anything that's a just repayment? It's clear, there isn't any justice when it comes to our relationship with God. We can't meet in an equal way what he's given to us by giving something back to him. So our principle of justice, it applies in this world, and it's right for us to strive to give each his due, that's justice, to give everybody what they rightly deserve. That's right. But when it comes to God, it throws us off because he's given us more than we can ever pay back, and we've offended him more than we can ever restore. So it seems as if the principle of justice, it won't work when it comes to our relationship with God. But this is where God provides a way for us. That is the way it is, of course, Jesus Christ, who becomes one of us and establishes a way to re-establish justice between God and man, or what he calls the resurrection of the righteous. Who's righteous? None of us is righteous in the absolute sense, but because of Jesus Christ, we can be made righteous. We can be reinstated in righteousness. So, this business about who to invite to a lunch or a dinner, I hope you know, this is not about rules about who we can invite. We're planning our big celebration for our 50th anniversary. It's just a month from now. Of course, we're talking about who to invite. Maybe we get a bishop, maybe some dignitaries, maybe some of our friends. We have people who have given us generous donations to make it possible for us to celebrate our 50th anniversary. How can we repay them? How can we honor the generosity of our benefactors? Okay, that's all fine. It's also good if we can invite people who have no way of paying. Yes, but Jesus' point here is not about who you invite to your parties. His point is that if we want to be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous, if we want to participate in the gift that God gives us, we have to look beyond this principle of give and take and payment and repayment and participate in what the theologians call the law of the gift. To recognize it's not about us giving so that we receive, it's about God giving more than we could possibly measure and us participating in that gift. So because we have received so much, we freely give. It doesn't matter if people don't pay us back. It doesn't matter because we've already been given so much by God. That's the mentality of faith, of people of faith. I already have received so much. I don't need anyone to pay me back. I don't need anyone to acknowledge my generosity or my goodness. God has already done that. So it leaves us free from the expectation or the slavery to this payment repayment system. Today's saint is a great example of this, Saint Martin de Porres. He was, as I said at the beginning, he was born to a number of disadvantages, but he didn't get caught up in resentment about what he didn't have. He was filled with gratitude at what he had. We have faith in Jesus Christ, and he was, for that reason, very selfless, very generous, very willing to give everything for the sake of others. Service to the poor, service to the sick, service to the abandoned, what we call the fringes of the society. He had a recognition that he had a lot to give, and that made him an extraordinary example of poverty of spirit, which made him so generous. That's why, and a lot of saints are like this. In fact, all the saints are like this to some degree or another, because they all participate in the law of the gift. They all become participants in God's generosity, not keeping anything for themselves because God has given them so much. So they become agents. They become ambassadors of God's generosity. That's what this is about. Now, in the first reading, Paul is reflecting on this, how God's ways are just so far beyond our ways. He says the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how inscrutable are his judgments and how unsearchable his ways. It's impossible for us to figure out and manipulate God as if we could figure out how to make him bless us more, or we could bypass some requirements. It doesn't make any sense. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who could figure out God? Who has been his counselor? Who has given him anything that he may be repaid? Paul's reflecting on this in light of this almost bizarre means by which God has been merciful. He's the way Paul says it is kind of ironic. He says, well, you disobeyed God, and now you receive mercy. Now their disobedience has led to you being merciful. Now you're being given mercy because of their disobedience will move them to receiving mercy. You say, well, what's the logic there? Everybody's disobedient, and God's merciful to everybody. It doesn't make logical sense. It's not as if anybody was in the right, and then God used that as the example to be merciful. No, everybody was in the wrong. God delivered all to disobedience that he might have mercy upon all. So God, as I say, he kind of broke all the rules of justice here and was merciful with everybody. And he wants us to be like this. Now, we do this when we, as I say, participate in the law of the gift, when we give of what we have received. I'll give you one example of this. When we pray in the devotion to divine mercy, how does it go? I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son. Now, how does it go? Of the Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. Now, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity. how does it start off? Heavenly Father? Eternal Father? I should have written it down because I'm a spy. I can't think of it, even though I had it memorized. Eternal Father. Okay, so we're talking to God the Father, and we're saying that we offer him the blood of his Son. Well, now, you see how unjust that is? If we offer our own blood, that's one thing. Or if we offer the blood of something that we own, an animal, that's one thing. But what right do we have to offer someone else's blood? That's not justice. What right do we have to take someone else's blood and offer it to the Father in atonement for our sins? Well, we don't have a right to do that, but God has given us this gift so that we have a gift to give him. That's what I say. This is the repayment that is beyond the levels of justice. We don't have a right to, but we, in a sense we do, because God has given it freely to us, given us the gift of redemption, given us the body and blood of his Son, so that we have something to offer for ourselves and for all the sins of the world. This is what we were doing yesterday on All Souls Day, and we're doing it in the early day, actually the whole month of November. What good can we offer to the Lord to help our brothers and sisters who have already died? Well, what can we possibly do? Well, we give what we have received. We participate in the gift that has been given to us. And we ask that God bring full participation to those who are in purgatory. It's all part of the same marvelous gift, the marvelous way God has transcended the system of repayment. So that, how can we be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous? It can't really be repaid unless we give what God gives us. And then when we give what God gives us, he gives us more. And then we give more. And then he gives us more. He can't be outdone. And in heaven, that's what the rejoicing is all about, the extraordinary generosity and mercy of God.